Today in our series on big questions, we come to consider what is faith. Our recent studies on this topic we've covered some crucial subjects as we have been looking at the very heart of what salvation is all about. We have considered effectual calling, which is about how God both calls and transforms the sinner so that we accept Christ as Saviour and Lord. We have looked at the great subject of justification, which is about how God declares the sinner as being right in his sight, as being righteous before him, through what Jesus has done on the cross. Then we considered the wonderful subject of adoption, which is about how God brings the sinner who has been justified into his family and gives them all the rights as God's son or daughter. And then last week we looked at the subject of sanctification, which is about how God continues to work in the life of the person who's been born again so that the Christian becomes more and more like Jesus, transformed into holiness. Now, in all these subjects up to now, we have been considering basically about what God does. God calls. God changes the sinner. God declares them to be righteous. God adopts them into his family. God makes them holy. But what we're beginning to consider today is the response that the work of God produces in the person who is saved. Today we're going to consider faith, and then next week we're going to consider the subject of repentance. And there are two reasons why we need to look at this subject of faith very carefully. The first is, faith ties us to Christ and salvation. Faith is the means through which we receive the salvation that Jesus died to bring. The Bible says, by grace are you saved through faith. Faith is accounted for righteousness. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Faith is the channel through which God's mercy comes to us. Indeed, we can say, no faith, then no heaven. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Faith is the means through which we grab hold of Jesus. But the second reason why we need to look at this carefully is people often have wrong ideas about what faith is. People are often very confused about this. Most people, if you talk to them about a huckle today, will talk about having a faith. But sadly, people's idea of what faith is often very different from what the Bible teaches about true faith. Indeed, many people who talk about having a faith will spend eternity in hell because the faith they have is not true saving faith. Therefore, I hope you can see that this is a subject we need to be very clear about. Because through faith, we're brought to heaven's glory one day. The first thing we're going to consider is faith's origin. Faith's origin. Where does it come from? Sometimes when you speak to people about Christian things and the question of faith, sometimes people will say, well, I'm not really interested in those things. And behind such a statement, there is the idea that religious belief and involvement is really down to personal tastes and personal desires. Some people are interested in gardening. Some people are interested in sport. Some people are interested in cars. Some people are interested in religion. It's a matter of personal preference. But that is not what the Bible teaches about this. Faith does not come about because of someone's personal interest or because someone is inclined that way or a person's choice. Faith, the Bible teaches, comes through the action of God. Faith is a gift that comes from God. That very famous verse, Ephesians 2:8. By grace are you saved through faith, and this not of yourselves, it is a gift of God. God produces faith in someone's heart. Paul, writing to the Philippians, says, unto you is given to believe on him. The ability and willingness to believe comes from God's Holy Spirit working in someone and producing this faith inside. It is the responsibility of everyone to exercise faith in Christ, to believe in Jesus. The message of the Bible is clear. Repent and believe the gospel. But because of sin, we've become such wretched people that we have lost all ability in ourselves to trust in Jesus as we should. Even though Jesus has died on the cross to give this wonderful salvation, the ability for us to trust in Jesus has gone because sin so enslaves us. What wretched people we have become. Faith, therefore, has to be a gift produced in the sinner by the Holy Spirit. And it is the ministry of God's word which is the normal means by which faith is produced in someone by the Spirit. In Romans 10 and 17 it says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 1 and 21, it has pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. James Phillips says this, ultimately, it is not possible either to understand or describe how this should happen. Perhaps the furthest we can go is to suggest that when the word of God is preached, a bridge is created between God and man, over which divine enabling grace comes to create the response of faith and trust in the heart. I think that's lovely. As God's word is preached, a bridge between God and man is created, over which grace travels to create that faith in Jesus. But why does Paul call preaching foolishness? Well, it's certainly not that he thinks that preaching is foolish. He says that preaching is the means to salvation. But in Corinth, a place of great culture, of place of plays, of drama, of fine speaking, simple preaching was seen as foolish. Yet what does Paul do when preaching isn't popular, when preaching is seen as foolish? He preached. He preached. He preached. Paul, you be a great preacher. You're a great speaker. Use lovely, fine words, flowery language. He preached the simple message of the cross. We've seen here that there is a very clear link between faith and the word of God. And that link is further emphasized both in Scripture and in our confession of faith, which we'll now see as we consider how faith causes a person to respond. We're going to consider how faith causes a person to respond to the Word of God and then to the Son of God. Those two things, of course, you can't really separate, but we're going to look at them slightly one at a time, slightly differently. First of all, we have the second point is faith's response then to the Word of God. When faith comes into a person's heart, how does it change them in regards to how they think about Scripture? Well, the first thing here is it causes them to accept it as total truth. Towards the end of the book of Acts, we read of the Apostle Paul being arrested in Jerusalem after a riot arose when people heard his preaching. Thankfully, I don't think my preaching has caused a riot as yet, but Paul's did. Eventually, he's brought in front of the Roman governor, Felix, to defend himself. And Paul explains his faith in Acts 24 by saying this, I admit that I worship the God of our followers as a follower of the way. The way was another term used to describe Christianity. A follower of the way, which they call a sect. I believe everything that agrees with the law and that is written in the prophets. So Paul describes his faith as believing everything written in the law and by the prophets, which is another way of describing the Old Testament scriptures, the Bible he had at that time. Faith, Paul says, is accepting all that scripture says as being true. And if the faith you have, if it does not accept the truth and the reliability of God's word, then it is not genuine faith. How can you say you're trusting God if you don't trust what he says in his word? So faith accepts God's word as total truth. Secondly, faith obeys its commands. In Romans 16, Paul, when speaking of the truth of God, says that it is now revealed and made known through the prophetic writings by the command of the eternal God, so that all nations might believe and obey him. You see, faith is not something static. Faith isn't lying back on an armchair and chilling out. Faith is something that is active. Faith includes obedience to the commandments of God. Faith trusts and obeys what God tells us to do, because faith knows that these commands of God are given in perfect love and wisdom. And you know, we struggle at times in obedience. Every Christian does, and we struggle at times. But when we struggle, we have to remind ourselves, this word which I find hard to believe and to obey, it's a word given by a God of perfect love and wisdom. And it is a word of perfect love and wisdom. I can trust him. You know, sometimes you're teaching children, it's hard for them to accept that when you say no or tell them to do certain things, that it's done in love and wisdom. My 2-year-old wanted some sweets this morning before going out to church. She can't be eating sweets all day. And sometimes we're like that as little children. We don't like what God says, but we have to trust him. He knows better than we do. Perfect love and wisdom. The third thing the confession says with this faith is that it trembles at its threatenings, the threatenings of God's word. The Lord says in Isaiah 66, "This is the one I esteem. He who is humble and contrite in spirit and trembles at my word." Now, you maybe didn't expect that. But faith includes an aspect of fear, of respect, of awe at the majesty of God. Faith means a person doesn't trifle with the word of God, but takes it so seriously, even trembling at the threatenings of the word. Threatenings about what disobedience will bring. Faith has a cautiousness about the word of God, a reverence for the word of God. I remember a number of years ago, there was a certain loyalist paramilitary who came to profess faith. Now, there were many loyalist paramilitaries who came to profess faith, and over time it was shown to be genuine. But this loyalist paramilitary, he was very popular going around sharing his testimony, and there was a video about his life. And I've got to be honest, I never liked it. There's something just not right about it, because of one particular thing he said. He talked about how in prison he used a Bible to roll up cigarettes, to make cigarettes, and he laughed at it. And I just thought, listen, if you once used a Bible to make cigarettes from you, and you're a genuine Christian, surely you wouldn't laugh at that, how you treated God's word. Because true faith has a reverence of God's word. Something wasn't right. And sure enough, that fellow was shown to be false in due time and fell totally away from his professed faith. You see, real faith respects God's word. Yes, real faith means we struggle with the word at times. but we'll always have a respect for it. It makes us fear God's threatenings. But doesn't make us run away from God. It makes us run to God. Because this brings us to our fourth point. Faith in response to God's word embraces its promises. In Hebrews 11, that which we read earlier, that great chapter on faith, there we have listed great heroes of faith from the Old Testament, including people like Abel and Enoch and Noah, Abraham, Sarah and Moses. And the writer to the Hebrews, he says, these all died in the faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them far off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. Faith embraces the promises that God makes in his word. Faith embraces a promise like, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. Like a promise, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Grab hold of those promises. We don't let go of them. It is that faith in the promises of God that makes all the difference in the darkest of days. Because the person of faith in the promises of God, those promises are so precious. Those promises shine like lights in the darkness. The world around us may be falling apart, but we hold on. We hold on. Like a drowning man to a rope, we hold on to those promises. So faith's response to the word of God means the believer accepts it as total truth, obeys its commands, trembles at its threatenings, embraces its promises. And all of this is produced in the believer because faith enables them to accept God's word for what it is, the authoritative, perfect word of God, the God who doesn't write lies, the God who doesn't make mistakes. Faith sees beyond the preacher, beyond the prophets, beyond the apostles who were used to write the word of God. Faith sees God, the God that we can trust, the God whose word we can trust. Do you have real saving faith here this morning? One of the ways you know if your faith is real or not is how you respond to God's word, how you respond to the reading and preaching of God's word. Now, this might make some of you paranoid, but you know, I often can learn a lot about a person when I go into their house and I go to read God's word. For some people, the eyes just brighten up. For other people, they become so uncomfortable. The response to the word will say a lot about where you stand. There's a man visiting a famous art gallery in London a number of years ago, and he left the art gallery. He said to the doorman on his way out, I wasn't that impressed by those so-called masterpieces. The man responded, it's not the pictures that are on trial. And when we come to God's word, the pictures aren't on trial. The word isn't on trial. It's a test of where we are. So faith's response to the word of God. And then thirdly, faith's response to the Son of God. The confession of faith says, the principal acts of saving faith are accepting, receiving, and resting upon Christ alone for justification, sanctification, and eternal life by virtue of the covenant of grace. And there's a lot in that, but let's make it simple. We see here that saving faith is specifically focused on Jesus Christ. Now that is so important because many people will talk about having a faith, they believe in God. But Jesus said that's not enough. Jesus said you believe in, you trust in God, trust also in me. Faith is trusting in Jesus for justification, which means trusting in Jesus and his death to make us right with God. Faith is trusting in Jesus for sanctification, which is trusting in Jesus to deal with our sin and make us holy. Faith is trusting in Jesus for eternal life, to bring us to heaven. Nothing in my hands I bring, but simply to thy cross I cling. Faith is not just accepting certain facts, although that's part of it. Saving faith is accepting, receiving, and resting upon Christ alone for these things. Faith is something very personal.
Faith is aimed at Jesus. Faith is grabbing hold of this Jesus. And that's why unbelief is such a serious sin. It's a very personal sin against Jesus. Unbelief is doubting Jesus. Unbelief is saying, Jesus, I don't trust you enough. Yes, you're the Son of God. You've lived that perfect life. You've died on the cross. You've rose from the dead. You've ascended glory. You've done all those things to save people. But I will not trust you. That is why unbelief, if I can put it crudely, is like giving the fingers to Jesus. You see, not to trust in Jesus is no minor thing. You're shaking your fist. You're rebelling against Jesus. You're saying, Jesus, you're not good enough. I'll not trust in you. Because real faith is grabbing hold of this Jesus as the most perfect man, the Son of God, and trusting in what he has done. Notice what the confession says here about trusting in Jesus. It says, it is by virtue of the covenant of grace. Now, we need to be very careful in understanding this, because this is where many people go wrong in their understanding of faith. Most people will say that they have a faith in God, but it's not virtue by the covenant of grace. Now, let me explain what I mean. This is important. Most people who say they believe in God believe that if they do their best in life, and they believe they're pretty good people, and because they believe God is kind, God will look after them in this life. And God will bring them to heaven one day when they die. Why? Because they're basically good and God's a good God who will look after that. And behind that faith, there are two false assumptions. The false assumption that they're pretty good people and who God is pleased with. And the false assumption that God will forget about their sin and their feelings. And I want you to examine yourself as to see if that's the faith you have. The faith that, okay, you're not perfect, but you're a pretty decent person and God is more or less pleased with you because of the person you are. And the faith that, well, God will just say bye-bye to your sins. He'll not care about your sins. He'll just wink at them. But that's a false faith. It's not saving faith. It's wishful thinking. It's a faith that most people die with and sends them to hell. And let us think what it means to have a saving faith by virtue of the covenant of grace. Let's go to our shorter catechism. The shorter catechism sheds some light on it when it says this. Faith in Jesus Christ is a saving grace, whereby we receive and rest upon him alone for salvation, as he is offered to us in the gospel. This is what real faith is. The covenant of grace is the great work of salvation in Christ as described in the gospel. And saving faith is based not on wishful thinking, but based on the gospel message and the promises of God. And let me just remind you of what that message is. First of all, it is believing the message of sin, that we have all fallen short of God's perfect standard. And there's nothing in ourselves that can ever cause God to be pleased with us. There's nothing in ourselves that we can ever do to earn our way to heaven. That's the first part of saving faith. It is believing that this God is a holy God. He's a just God. He has to punish all sin that's ever been committed. He just can't forget about our sin. And all sin deserves hell. It is believing, though, that this God, who is holy and just, he's also a God who in his love sent his Son into the world, that person called Jesus, who is both God and man. He died on the cross to pay the price for the sin of his people after living a perfect life. And he rose from the grave on the third day, showing that God had accepted the price for sin in full. And this faith is trusting, relying, resting, depending on the finished work of Christ alone as a sacrifice for sin to rescue us from our sin and to make us right with God and to bring us to heaven one day. Faith is in the light of what Jesus has done on the cross, calling upon him, embracing him, throwing ourselves upon him, and accepting him as our Savior and Lord. You see how different that is? from this fuzzy faith. Oh, I'm a nice person and I haven't done anyone any harm and God will look after me. That's absolute rubbish. The saving faith is, I'm a sinner. God's a holy God. But in Jesus, God's Son, he has provided the way. And I'm going to grab hold of him. Is that the faith you have? Listen, all our faith is rubbish. It's a faith that says, I'm a sinner. But Jesus is a great Savior. And on him I will trust my eternity. How faith responds to the Son of God. And one final thing that the confession deals with, which is faith's growth. We see here in the confession that faith can have different degrees of weakness or strength in people. Now remember this. The most important thing is not how strong our faith is, but in whom our faith is placed. Faith at times can be attacked and weakened. The world that we live in is a hostile environment to faith, and we will go through times of doubts. We will go through times of struggles in our faith. That will happen. But faith gets a victory, and in many people it reaches full assurance. We'll deal with that some Sunday by itself. Faith is something that should be growing more and more in our lives as we come to know Jesus through his word in a deeper way. And faith is strengthened by the ministry of the word, the sacraments, and prayer. You know, most of the doubts that people have and the lack of faith we struggle with at times can often be traced back to a carelessness of involvement in what are called the means of grace. Our regular patterns of private Bible study and prayer, our regular attendance at public worship or Bible study and prayer meetings, those things will lead to a weakened faith. Sometimes when we have this lack of faith or struggling with faith, we go, poor little me, I can do nothing about it. It's if a condition I have which can never be helped. Listen, Christian. All the resources of God are there to strengthen your faith. Be obedient to what he calls you to do. Be at the place of prayer. Be at the place of Bible study, privately and with God's people, praying that your faith will grow and grow. You know, if we neglect our physical food, we'll become weak and unhealthy and sick. It's the same with our spiritual food. As we end this morning, can I just ask you these two questions? Have you this real saving faith? Have you embraced Jesus who died on the cross as your Savior and your Lord? Listen, dear friends, this is so serious. So serious. And the second question is your faith growing day by day? Christian, is your faith getting stronger? Are you coming to know Jesus more and more? Because you know something? It's through a growing faith that God can use us to do great things for him. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for your truth about faith. And Lord, I just pray that you would just speak to every heart here today. And for those as yet who haven't been saved, who haven't been brought to that point of saving faith, Lord, may they have clarity today about what this faith is. Take away this belief in a fuzzy faith of believing certain head knowledge. But Lord, grant that today they'll grasp hold of the Jesus who died on the cross and embrace him as Savior and Lord. Oh, Lord, grant that, we pray. Lord, if they're not at that stage to come to that faith today, Lord, just persevere with them. Lord, be merciful to them until they do come. And Lord, for those who are believers or who are maybe struggling with their faith, as we all do, Father, at times, Oh, Lord, may they just, in a fresh way, see the wonder of the Jesus who died and rose again and who intercedes for them. May they bring their struggles to him. And may that great physician of the soul just deal with our struggles day by day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.